Touchwood files have been activated. Enjoy the show.
What was that?
Listen to me. We've only got 2 minutes, so it's important that you listen, okay?
Who are you?
Trust me. You're dead.
Move back if you could, thank you.
Move back, they say. Clear the site. Special access, they said.
For who?
Torchwood.
You catch aliens?
Yep.
You catch aliens for a living?
Yes, we do.
You're an alien catcher?
Yes, I am.
Got any good aliens?
Tons of them.
That's a hell of a job.
Sure is.
Owen Harper, Gwen Cooper.
Toshiko Sato.
Susie Costello.
And this is Yanto Jones.
And who are you, then?
Captain Jack Harkness. We don't just catch aliens. We scavenge the stuff they leave behind, find ways of using it, arming the human race for the future. The 21st century's when it all changes, and you gotta be ready.
The Discussing Network presents Discussing Who, a Doctor Who podcast. I'm Kyle Jones, and I want to start this episode by welcoming back Clarence Brown. Mr. Brown, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. I tried to do my Jack Harkness get up, but it kind of didn't work. I have, of course, the shirt. I could not find my suspenders. I'm a little vortex manipulator here.
Oh, that is too cool.
And
that's all you need.
Know, my sidearm is missing, but, you know, can't have everything.
Indeed,
but
indeed.
Doing good, man. Glad to be here.
Local regulations forbid.
And live from Torchwood Tower, Lee Shackelford.
Apparently.
How are
you? Hi, guys. I'm very good. I'm just out of the hot tub, so I'm relaxed. I'm going with the flow, man.
So you've been renewed. You've been rejuvenated.
Been completely rejuvenated. So, yeah. Great to see Tasha in the chat, and Wingrace has just joined.
Indeed, indeed. So, yeah. And he says, being Wingrace, John Barrowman is coming to a con near him this weekend, debating stopping by. Laugh out loud.
What's the debate?
Yes. I remember Clarence, what was this, probably 2018-ish, maybe 2017, 2018, we saw him at Pensacon, you and I. So, very, very entertaining.
Yeah, I was not ready, but I was very entertained. I was very entertained.
You didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah. No, I did not expect the TARDIS dress, but, you know, yeah. I had a great time.
Indeed. Indeed, indeed, indeed. So why are we talking about Captain Jack as opposed to talking about the Doctor? We're just going to say maybe a Doctor. We're not going to refer to the Doctor himself because you... For reasons, but Torchwood, gentlemen, what do you think before we even get into it? Switching from Doctor Who proper to Torchwood, any thoughts before we start?
I think this is the epitome of it's not tea time anymore in a lot of ways. I was happy to dive back into this. Of course, I know it gets very risque on some episodes at some point, but I'm glad to be here. And there was a few things in this first episode. I just kind of went, ugh, at a little bit. But we'll get into all that.
Yes, we will.
I want to say for everyone listening, if you have not seen episode one of season one of Torchwood, put us on pause. Go out. Watch the episode. Come back. Because from this moment forward, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Affirmative.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
And I killed Sparky, too.
Alrighty, the spoiler warning has gone out, and we are back to review Torchwood. Season 1, Episode 1, Everything Changes. This is the first episode of the first series of first series of Torchwood, first airing on the 22nd of October, 2006. It aired on BBC Three. This episode was brought to us by the letters RTD. So summary view. Lee Shackelford, I'll start with you. Summary view. First episode, what did you think?
Well, as Clarence just alluded, and as I remember John Barrowman saying at the Gallifrey the first time I ever saw him in person, this is Doctor Who for grown-ups. He was booed at Gallifrey when he said that by a room full of Doctor Who fans, but this is Doctor Who for grown-ups. It just is. And yeah, it's, I think I had forgotten just how, well, sometimes brutal the show can be. Like any other, it is basically a British procedural. It's a cop show, right? It starts with police and Sacco on the scene, and that could be the beginning of almost anything. And you just don't, it just doesn't go where if this was a Midsummer Murders, that's we're not going to bring anybody back from the dead. So
indeed, and
yes, more mature. Tasha's saying, I think maybe that's such a finicky word, isn't it? It's a mature language, but they're talking like kids. you know what we mean. I don't find that mature, but yeah.
And speaking of mature, Clarence Brown, what do you think?
Are you saying I'm a mole? Is that what you
No, I'm saying I was giving you a compliment.
Oh, well,
yeah, that mature means old too, doesn't it? It's
so many meanings. I am having fun diving back into Torchwood. I'm trying to remember exactly at what point I started watching Torchwood. I'm thinking it could have been when I went through my entire first run of seeing New Who, so I caught up. I think I jumped over to Torchwood because there was nothing new left, if I remember correctly. But I remember loving this series, and it felt so great being right back in it. Seeing some of these characters that I haven't seen in such a long time. And I really enjoyed before. It's really great getting back into it. Now, that being said, this is the mature version of Doctor Who, as been stated before. some questionable things happen, but also some really fantastic and cool things, some really concepts setting the ground rules for how some things work. And ultimately, I really enjoyed this pilot or introduction episode to the series.
So for me, it was interesting getting back into it because I think we've said offline that we've not, any of us, revisited Torchwood in quite a while. It wasn't because I disliked it. It was just something that I didn't revisit. And I remember watching it through the first time for every reason that you guys said and enjoying it. I thought it was a good watch and I enjoyed watching it. I'm curious as we go through these episodes to maybe ask myself again why I haven't gone back, other than the fact of it doesn't have the Doctor in it. And maybe that's the missing thing, because for all intents and purposes, I don't rewatch Sarah Jane over and over. So maybe that's what it is. But before we move on, I want to bring up a chat comment from Larry. Larry says, Torchwood, it's still too soon. Not quite sure what that means, but Torchwood, it's still too soon. One of the best shows on TV, amazing representation, and just an amazing show. So let's talk about the concept for a moment for Doctor Who. And Doctor Who's audience is considered to be adults and children, but Torchwood's audience was considered adults and older teenagers. Just in this episode, could you tell a tonal shift? And Lee, you're shaking your head. I'm assuming that's a yes.
Well, one of the big things that this episode did that made me sit up in my chair, when it aired, when we saw it first in the US, was that, well, I think I told you that I used to debate with friends of mine when I was in graduate school about the presence of God and, other sort of Judeo-Christian spirituality, how that fits into the Doctor Who universe. And what my friends were saying was, there's no room for that in Doctor Who. That clearly from the beginning, this has been part of the idea, is that those are myths, those are fables, this is not reality. Well, in this episode, we establish it's canonical. What is on the other side of death?
I saw nothing.
Nothing. So there, end of debate, right?
Yeah, well.
And I just remember sitting up and going, wow, if this is supposed to be Doctor Who canon, then okay, that puts a lid on that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All righty then.
Yeah.
And then at the end of this episode, there's an on-screen pistol suicide, which I don't think we've ever done on Doctor Who. So, and that, we haven't even gotten to the sexy stuff yet, So yeah, it's a lot of sit up and take notice, and or sort of grabbing the audience and saying, "Sit up and take notice." It's
All right, Clarence, what about you? What was your thoughts on this, and did you see this tonal shift?
Definitely a tonal shift. I feel like it was a spinoff in the true sense of the word, where it will maybe harkening back to older shows when one character goes off and we create a new show. Definitely an entirely different tone. We're going to take one element from the show that we know and love, Doctor Who, and give this character his own world, to his own sandbox to play in. From that aspect, I love that it feels different. You can, for the most part, kind of watch this and only know small parts of Doctor Who and still it'll make sense to you. I mean, especially from this pilot, I mean, definitely if you know Doctor Who, there's going to be some things you'd be like, oh yeah, that's really cool. Or I saw the hand, that's cool, you know. But if not, I think you can still watch it and still kind of get the gist of the broader Doctor Who world, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I do love that it has its own sandbox to play in. And it's kind of, they get right what I kind of don't like from Lower Decks. And I know I'm jumping streams here, but because Lower Decks is close enough to the normal Star Trek mode of operation that it feels like it. But this, like you meant the question itself, this doesn't feel like Doctor Who to me. It feels like something totally separate.
But just for the sake of discussion, can we quickly run down what are the things that we saw in this episode that come directly from episodes of Doctor Who, though?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Go for it.
Well, you said the Doctor's not in it. Part of him is.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly.
And that's from The Christmas Invasion,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, indeed.
Our first mention of Torchwood is, it's Victoria, yep, who names it Torchwood. And that episode is called
Tooth and Claw.
Tooth and Claw. Thank you. So she proclaims the creation of Torchwood, and its mission is to keep people like the Doctor away.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This is interesting. And then of course the Doctor dances, Empty Child and the Doctor dances, from which Captain Jack Harkness goes missing mysteriously.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the thing that happens to him happens, for some reason, I can never remember the last
part of the episode.
The Parting of the Ways. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually a pretty good chunk of 2005 Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Of the reboot base series. And what?
The whole premise of this, the whole base, why we're getting these leaks of these aliens coming up from the surface.
Oh,
the rift.
The rift in Cardiff. Media. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And from season 2 of 2006 of Doctor Who, the fall of Torchwood, because they referenced the fall of Torchwood.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, we did have, so that leads into another question that I had specifically about Torchwood. So no spoilers per se in regards to the 2006 series or series 2 of Doctor Who, but the way Torchwood was presented in that series was very different, in my opinion, about how Jack and his team are reconstituting, in a way, Torchwood, mm-hmm. because they were a much more, not necessarily militaristic, because that's how I feel UNIT was at the time, but more of a almost underhanded a little bit, because remember, they said, Doctor, you're our property now, we're keeping you, mm-hmm. for all intents and purposes. Right. Thoughts on why RTD may have decided, let's repurpose Torchwood that we made look bad as a spinoff, other than the naming of it being Doctor Who switched around.
Yeah, it is an anagram. Yeah,
I think they kind of explain that in a sense here, where we're saying we have different divisions or different set parts of this is Torchwood 3 specifically in this series. So to me, that was enough of an explanation to me to say that, you know, we're kind of the same, but it may be run a little bit differently. And honestly, it's a thing I would love to see more in UNIT, because, you know, you just feel like there's one UNIT and that's it. I never feel like there's different parts to it. So I actually like that, you know, this is Torchwood 3. Those other parts may run it. He mentioned the places. I can't remember. They run a little bit differently. This is how we run it here. That's kind of the tone that I got from it.
Yeah. And in the Christmas Invasion, it's Torchwood that shoots the Sycorax ship in the back and causes the Doctor to, you know, deliberately bring down the Prime Minister. So they had that kind of power and could be dialed up by the prime minister and say,
we know who she is.
We know. Yeah. And doesn't she look tired?
Yes.
But yeah, that's who Torchwood was behind the scenes, you know, in those scripts. And I think it would have been hard to tell a story about them that we would, I think we might not care. For one thing, that would just be indistinguishable from UNIT, which we hadn't really figured out how to bring back yet. But also, I'm just a lot more interested in a story about a few, you know, people who are capable of making mistakes and bad judgments and, you know, as I think we saw modeled in this episode. One of the things I think is funny in this episode, to jump ahead a bit, is they're having their box that says not to be used. And Owen's love potion is one of the things that's going to go in there.
That was so cringe, man.
Just no. Yeah.
Like that. Like,
but
I will get there.
but you know what I'm saying? I'd rather see a show about a group of people who have this colossal power at their hands, but they'll also use it for their own ends and get punished for it.
Yeah.
You know, or, I mean, he's getting a slap on the wrist, but it's, you know, they're not perfect and they're not omniscient. And yeah, Jack says about several things. We don't know how it works.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
But why is it that you can't die? I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe the question in the conversation we just had is one of the reasons why he chose the name, because it creates interest of, hey, aren't they the bad guys? Why is Jack working with the bad guys?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, let me tune into this. I want to find out, you know. So, Lee, I want to ask you, I want to direct this question to you first. From a writer's perspective, if you were to look at Rose, the story and the beats of the story, and you were to look at this one and taking the concept Rose Tyler and taking the concept Gwen Cooper and the journey that they go on in those two episodes, are the beats the same to you? Are they different? And if so, how are they the same or different?
The basic premise of the outsider is the same. Of having somebody who doesn't know what's going on, just as the audience doesn't know what's going on, and then having them actively pursue the answer. So Gwen and Rose both, they really want to know what the heck is going on, and they're going to place themselves in jeopardy if they have to find it. And they both have the problem that they've seen already extraordinary things, and nobody believes them because, you know, that's crazy. A shop window dummy didn't threaten you. Yeah, I don't know what you think you saw, but, you know. And then here, I mean, nobody in their right mind is going to listen to Gwen. So so they have to get to the answer. So what's clever about that is that allows the audience to find out the truth as this character does. And then we're all on board. So that's great for a pilot. The sole gripe that I have about this script is that a lot of our information comes from Jack when he's monologuing. And if there's anything we learned from The Incredibles, is that that's an old trope, and it's funny when somebody does it. But Jack literally, he tells her everything because he's about to erase her memory.
Yes.
And it is just like the Republic serial villain saying, well, since you're about to die, I'll tell you what my evil plan was. Why? I mean, yeah, that's Captain Proton. I mean, I don't know. So, you know, does Jack need to do that? It's like he's showing off. And then he tries to erase her memory. And is there something really upsetting about our hero, our nominal hero of the show, putting something in the girl's drink in the pub?
Yes. I'm like, oh, that did not age well, man.
Ow. Yeah. Jeez.
Him and Owen, like, God. This stuff did not age well at all.
I think we're supposed to judge Owen from the beginning for what he's doing.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah.
But, you know, that, you know, I actually had that as one of our talking points. And specifically, I said, this doesn't age well. But even beyond that, there's a level of creepiness to it, in the sense of not only are they invading her mind, but as she is typing all the notes on her computer, they are invading her computer to shut it down and lock her out. So, I mean, literally, they were covering all bases. Thoughts on that, going even to the computer level? Clarence, you're the computer guy. What do you think?
This is like you have to clean out all traces. Now, I don't know how, you know, if we're looking seriously. I mean, this is a make-believe world. Yeah, they can do it. It's possible. I do find that very interesting. And I think what I loved about that is Gwen's persistence. And this would have been any of us. We're like, I'm going to write this down. I'm going to put it on a computer. I'm going to leave myself notes. There is no freaking way I'm not going to remember what happened. So I have to think, so did Jack want her to remember is the reason he even told her, you know, because the easiest thing would be just tell her, you know, not tell her anything and just let her forget naturally. But, you know, it seemed like that he wanted to plant a seed in her to a certain extent. But yeah, I found all that very fascinating. And, you know, it was interesting seeing Mr. Jones there. The other Mr. Jones, I see him as the fixer, kind of the, you know, the, what's the lady off Scandal of, Olivia Pope of, yes. of this show.
You know, Clarence, I think you've posited a good in-story explanation for Jack's monologuing, and I'll buy that. I mean, it just seemed like that's too clumsy of a piece of script writing for that to be, for that to not be supported by some logic. But what if that is a test? Why he tells her everything?
Yeah.
Because if she has the kind of mental power and force of will to actually recall it later, then we want her on this team.
Exactly. So this was maybe an interview.
I'll buy that. Yeah. Because he really does. He treats it like an interview.
And you know what's interesting?
And, of course, and it works. That's, that's
the thing. It does.
The interesting thing for me was, and this is a good example of the Mandela effect, I remembered this episode with Ianto leaving the information on the computer. That's how I remembered it. I didn't remember that he wiped the computer too. I was thinking, oh, wait, didn't he leave that? So that it's interesting how your memory kind of changes and reshapes things.
Well, I didn't remember Susie at all.
Me neither. Me neither.
How about that? So, yeah. And so that was great that she, you know, that she's such a pivotal plot point at the end. That's
Yeah, she looked a little birdie to me. She looked a little birdie, like a
birdie.
Yeah, like a, you know, like a shoulder or shoulder.
Oh, you're gonna see her later.
Yep. Later in 2024, Doctor Who, as one of the. Of evil shape-shifting cosplaying bird people.
Same actor.
Same actor.
While we're talking about actors, I got to ask if you know this, that one of the things that watching this again reminded me that I had such a big crush and, you know, I'm so fickle that I had forgotten my big crush on Naoki Mori. Wow. And so just seeing her again reminded me that she was in a made-for-TV film about John and Yoko. And she was Yoko Ono, of course. Do you know who her John was, or John Lennon?
Who?
Christopher Eccleston.
Oh, how cool.
And she's an actor, singer, dancer. She's a multiple, you know, triple threat, and we don't ever get to see all of that on Torchwood. But she was, I think, created the role of the female lead in the musical Miss Saigon. She was one of the first, anyway, one of the long-running ones. And that show, one of the leads, was on stage, was played by John Barrowman. So she and John go way back. Anyway.
All right. So I want to bring
And speaking of connections to Doctor Who from 2005, right? We had seen her, not only that actor, but her character before.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
She's the one who's got a pig in the hospital.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the episode World War III.
World War III. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I remember.
She's only on screen for a few minutes, but, you know, they connected her in Torchwood. Is it? No, that was her.
If I remember this correctly, Lee, I don't think you were able to join us on that review, but you commented later that you laughed about how much Clarence and I, quote unquote, loved the episode. With and I'm not really being serious whenever I say we love the episode.
Oh, yeah. 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 There's big love out there for
World
the Slytherin. So.
All right, I want to bring in a couple of comments.
Yeah.
Jamie Johnson says, Torchwood was my introduction to Doctor Who. If it wasn't for this show on Stars, I would have never have been a fan. So that's literally wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey.
Yeah. And I, Yeah, I just try to imagine that for most of us, our experience was Torchwood as a spinoff of Doctor Who. What would it be like to come to Doctor Who via Torchwood? But you know, Jamie's here, so.
There you go. All right, so Larry says, I absolutely feel like Jack wanted Gwen to join, and it was all a test, and he was impressed by her relentless drive to find the truth.
Yep. Now that you've said it, I can't think of it any other way.
And I am going to butcher this name if I try to say it, but if you're watching on the video, you will see it. That said, they say, I like how they use the pizza place throughout the series.
Yeah.
Very well said.
It's Genghis Khan?
Genghis Khan. Okay, cool.
Is it? Or
that? Let's cut it back. Let's see. Genghis Khan.
Or, yeah.
Hey, it works for me. Genghis Khan.
Exactly. Whatever. Yeah.
Awesome. Good deal. So let me ask you guys about referencing the Doctor, because at one point when he is talking, he being Jack, to Gwen, he's referencing not being able to die, and he makes a reference to, I'll need to see a doctor about it one day, a specific doctor or a particular kind of doctor.
Yeah, a doctor who could help me.
A doctor who could help me. As a fan of Doctor Who, I know who he's talking about being the Doctor. That being said, do you guys think it was a smart move to not reference the Doctor and just kind of nonchalantly put it in the way they did it?
Inconsequential, I think. I think it's cool to have these things that you can research, or even if you know already, that you can go in and find. But I don't think, and let's be, who watches this show? Who starts with, well, other than, of course, Jamie here, but how many people you think actually watched this show when it was airing, having not watched Doctor Who? And even if you haven't, I think coming into it and not knowing that little nugget, I don't think it takes anything away from it. Of course, it does enhance it for us, but I don't think it takes that much away from it not knowing that, because it just feels like a normal line, honestly, in my opinion.
Okay. Lee, what do you think? The fan in me is going to say the Doctor, you know, and wanting it to be the Doctor. That's the fan part of me.
Mm-hmm.
But Clarence, to your point, I think that, you know, me with my little notepad trying to get every reference of the Doctor, it hits that button. It checks that, you know, it checks that off for me. But for that casual fan who doesn't know who the Doctor is, it's a good line. It makes sense in context, and it works whether you know the Doctor or a Doctor. It's
but like Tasha says, she has a quote here. I think this is from a Doctor Who. Doctor Who can help. So they did get it in there, if that's what was in the actual show. Oh, gotcha.
And maybe he can explain it.
And but I am going to speculate that if someone were to hear that, maybe that comment about the Doctor, as it did for Jamie, made someone try to find out what that meant and lead them down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, it worked for Jamie.
And Larry says, this is when I first saw Indira Varma, and then later to see her on Luther, Game of Thrones, many other shows, and to see her come back to Doctor Who last season was amazing.
Yes, she is.
So let's talk about her character, Susie, for a moment. What did you guys think of her, and I'm going to say evil turn, but considering the fact we didn't know her, I don't necessarily want to call it an evil turn because we didn't know her. But what did you think about this twist that one of them went over the edge a little bit? Clarence, why don't you take that first?
In the pursuit of science, I think is the feeling I get here. We've seen the story before of scientists who just take it too far. And in her case in particular, I guess you could say all their cases, because we find that they all been taking trinkets to their respective houses and doing things. It was just her fascination with figuring out how this alien tech, you know, part of their job is to pick up alien tech that's hanging around and confiscate it. Just her pure fascination of how this alien tech works. And we find out that the more violent the death, the better the tech works to revive and get information. So Stone Cold, yes. Heartless, yes. But she was a scientist, just went about it the total wrong way. But yeah, I found the character very interesting, though.
All right, Lee, what did you think?
We don't get to know her very well, but I'm with Clarence. That is very interesting that somebody would have this technology come into their possession, and then it would turn into an obsession of how to make it work, even if it costs other people their lives. It's for science, man.
Yep.
And this is something that I have really enjoyed that they pursued in the building the Avengers stories in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's like, let's get serious about the fact that we just wrecked a bunch of alien spaceships out here in this battle in New York. And there are going to be people picking all over that.
Yep.
I don't think there wouldn't be. And some of them are going to go on and cure cancer. And some of them are going to become the Raven and, you know, or the Vulture. And, you know,
yes.
That's what we do. And so that's part of Torchwood's job, right? Is to find this stuff and keep it other people from playing with it. But they're human beings too. They're, you know, somebody inside your own number is going to take it too far.
Mm.
And we saw her take doing it on a big scale, and we got to see Owen doing it on a scale.
Yeah. It interesting that, you know, we find them using this technology for their various purposes. And Gwen, well, Love, we hadn't talked about it much, but I love the character, by the way. It's so great to be back in her presence.
She's just great.
But she's like, why aren't you using this stuff to help people? If we can talk to people after they've been killed, we could solve cases. We could do so much good. And she takes Jack to task for that. So, using the technology in not the right way, and maybe just need a little bit of steering in the right direction.
And, you know, the thing that got me about all of this was, and even with not Owen, but who is the guy that had the mist? I can't remember the character's name, you know, that had the spray bottle stuff.
Oh, Owen.
Yeah. Oh, Owen. Okay. Yeah. All right. Reese is her husband. Okay.
So even
with Reese, I mean, with Owen having that, you know, you don't know what exactly that's going to do. So whether it could have worked on one person, you could have had it where it's working on everybody. And
that's right.
You know, so there's good consequences per se as what was his scenario that he had, as opposed to what if you were in a room of 50 people and all 50 of them were
that's
coming
right.
at you at one time. So,
well,
you know, that not necessarily a good thing. So,
right.
Oh boy.
Jack doesn't use that stuff because he don't need it.
He don't need it. He's Jack.
He's Jack Harkness.
All right. So, gentlemen, I've come to the end of my notes, and I'm curious if either of you have any other notes before we get into our favorites. Lee, anything else from you before we get into our favorite?
This episode gives us a little bit of support for Donna Noble, and I appreciated that. That was not the purpose at the time, but looking back on it, it's easy for us to judge Donna because there was the Christmas invasion and she didn't notice, you know? And a lot of these things happen. There were giant spaceships in the sky. There was a, you know, battle of robots at Canary Wharf. Yeah, I was indoors. You know, I was watching something on. She just, these things just pass her by. But from Reese, we get a little backstory there. We get Gwen talking about Reese and saying that people in the UK have been told that it was that there's a conspiracy theory about. That there was psychotropic drugs in the water that made us all hallucinate these things and so on.
Yeah.
So apparently that's the official explanation. And don't think Torchwood didn't have a hand in that. But so that there's even a passing comment later on where Reese is talking to his mother, I think. And he says, it's all that Christmas stuff all over again. I was like, for God's sake, leave it. You know, so some people are still not convinced. You know, they still think something else happened. But people will debate it forever. And so apparently that's the in canon explanation for what's happened is that people didn't change overnight because of this alien invasion. Most people think it didn't happen. And so,
hey,
you know, hey, Donna's just one of those. It's okay. She's going to learn different. You know?
Wonder whatever did happen to Donna Noble.
Yeah, we'll find out.
All right, Clarence, anything else from you?
That's why I love Gwen Cooper. She's awesome.
Isn't she great?
I love the fact that, so well, first off, let me say that Torchwood headquarters looks like a mess. I don't remember it being that, I mean, it's basically, they're the turtles, right? They're in the sewer.
That's true. Yeah.
And I love that they have the cells there, the holding blocks there. I thought that was very interesting, and we're going to keep going back there.
We'll see those again. Yeah.
Yes. So I like that. I love that it's so grimy, so grimy. The pizza place was mentioned in the chat. I love that the way that Gwen gets in, you know, she is saying all the variations of Jack Harkness to try to figure out how to get into this base via the pizza shop. And then, you know, she just uses Torchwood, and lo and behold, Owen has been using that to get pizza there. So that was the way into the headquarters that, mind you, has a pterodactyl just flying around.
Yeah.
It's pterodactyl. Yeah.
So good stuff, man. Good stuff.
And Lee, I forgot to put this picture up, but I want to mention that you've been to Torchwood Tower before and taken a picture.
I sent you that in the hope that you put the picture up here now. But yeah, I went to the waterfall tower and had to get a picture of me trying in vain to find that door there. But yeah. I can't see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You weren't standing on the right platform.
I was. I guess not. Mm-hmm. But yeah. That part of the central square of Cardiff is just a staggeringly beautiful place. And I encourage anybody and everybody to go if you've never been. So you can see why they want to use that as sort of the centerpiece of this show, is that you're always going to have to go to city center and see that waterfall sculpture. And
And then dream
about what's underneath, that unholy mess down there.
And I will add that for next week. But before we move on to our favorites, go ahead.
I wanted to say that you mentioned that. Like, what a wonderful use of showing how this perception filter works.
Yes.
And we get the climactic moment at the end where Susie wants to kill Gwen and Jack is standing right there. We're like, oh, she can't see him.
Yeah.
She can't see him. It's like, you think that's going to work on me? Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Yep.
It's
beautiful.
And isn't this the first time on screen that, other than when Jack was resuscitated, this was the first time we see Jack actually come back, right?
There's that picture.
Oh, there's the picture. Cool.
See, Clarence has got it. Yeah. Yeah. That was in 2013. Incredible.
How cool.
Yeah. And he gets to do the Wolverine thing of have a bullet in his forehead and just sort of... pop it out.
That was cool.
Yeah.
All right. So really, really quick, because I just love this comment. Someone in the chat, SA1989, hi, guys. I love your podcast and was wondering why K9 was removed from your spoiler warning, because like Kyle loves River, I love K9.
Mm. That's from SA1989.
Yes, indeed. So... that for me, so here's what we do. Every once in a while, we go through and update our spoiler warnings. And that was the latest that we've used, but it doesn't mean we can't go back and the one with K9. Honestly, the reason we kind of moved away from it, I had, for some reason, because I think I just like WandaVision, I just had that, and I killed Sparky too at the end, which was kind of getting old, but hey. Maybe it's a time to bring it back since we are getting Agatha all along in the next couple of weeks. So maybe it's time to bring it back. But
that's right.
So favorite scene, gentlemen, favorite scene, Clarence, what was your favorite scene?
Oh man, I think, and I will group these kind of all together. I love it when Gwen is tracking down, you know, you equated it to Rose in a lot of ways. I love it when she's trying to figure out the mystery. So all those scenes I thought was great. She's even using her powers as a constable to, you know, do a search and run this plate. And I just thought all of that was real fun and real interesting. And, you know, like Lee mentioned, we get to go on a journey with her to figure things out. So I thought that was fun.
All right. Lee, what about you?
Favorite scene? Just literally following Gwen from where Yanto, you know, lets her go in to deliver pizzas, and the camera's just with her tracking all the way down into Torchwood 3. I just love all that. And of course, the team, we'll find out, are playing a joke on her by pretending like they don't notice her at all.
Yeah.
She was there to start with. It, like Yanto wouldn't have told them. So, yeah, I just love that whole reveal. What a great way for us to get to see Torchwood 3 for the first time.
Yeah. Yep. You know, that was actually my favorite scene when she enters, you know, Torchwood for the first time, that whole sequence. I just think that was well done. It just set the tone and it took away that these are all really, really uptight and, you know, this is all professional, because that's how they had shown them before, almost right. Men in Black type.
Oh, yeah.
And then realizing, no, they're really just human, just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
That was really, really cool. So before we move on to favorite quote, I want to answer a question from Wingrace. He says, does anyone remember if Susie was promoted as being a part of the full-time cast? He seems to recall that she was. And yes, I believe she was in all the promotional material. And I think the twist was you had someone that looked to be a full-time cast member get killed off in the first episode, which I think helped to say, don't get comfortable, expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and so I think that was intentional misdirection, so to speak.
Especially if you've just watched the episode, you know that when you kill somebody, they're dead. Except if they do the glove, or if you're Jack. Okay, so when you're dead, maybe you're not. Okay, we don't know. So,
All right, so favorite quote, Lee Shackelford, starting with you. Favorite quote.
This is just an off-the-cuff thing from one of the other cops. When she's asking about Torchwood, he says, I bet you 10 quid they're DNA specialists. It's all DNA these days, like that CSI bollocks. CSI Cardiff, I'd like to see that. They'd be measuring the velocity of a kebab.
Oh, boy.
Love you, RTD.
Clarence, favorite quote.
Let me add to what Lee just said. I loved all these aerial shots of Cardiff. I just love those. I don't know.
Yeah.
Never been.
Beautiful city.
I loved when they were talking about the lift and Gwen says, invisible lift sounds better. Jack says, that's so Welsh. Gwen said, what is, Jack? I show you something fantastic. You find fault.
Yeah.
All right. So my favorite quote was, the 21st century is when everything changes and you've got to be ready. And I didn't really get why that stuck in my head for some reason, but that's when everything changes. And then I realized, oh, that's a paraphrase, even though it was a different writer, at the end of The 11th Hour in 2010, when Rivers says to the doctor, this is when you will find out who I am, and that's when everything changes. So I think that's why that stuck in my head.
Yeah.
But totally different concept, but some of the wording was the same.
But it makes a good title for the episode. So,
yes, indeed.
Yeah.
All right. So for everyone in the chat, if you want to give us your rating, 1 out of 5 of whatever, we will read over those after we give our rating. So Clarence, starting with you, what's your final rating?
I think I'm going to go with about a 4.4. I'm intrigued. I want to watch more as you originally I did. I just kept watching it, eating these up. I thought it was fantastic. And, you know, I can't wait to see where these characters go. So 4.4 for me.
4.4 what out of what?
Oh, wow. 4.4 indoor pterodactyls out of 5.
Yeah. They've apparently let to go outside every now and then, judging from the last shot of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to come back. He's going to come back.
So. Nobody sees it, you know.
So, yeah.
All right. So, Lee, final rating.
Oh, this is easy for me. I just think it's a home run. They just knocked this out of the park. So, I'm giving it 5 10th Dr. Hands in a tank.
Okay. 5 10th Dr. Hands in a tank. All right. Totally meta crisis there. So,
yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go 5 with it because I'm so glad that we are going through Torchwood. So very, very glad. I'm going to give it 5. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but 5 spray bottles out of 5.
What?
I don't know. That was just funny to me for some reason.
It's a funny business.
Yes, literally. So 5 funny spray business. Bottles out of 5. So looking at the chat, I'm seeing it. 5 Range Rovers from Larry.
Oh, yeah. The Range Rover suite.
The Range Rover.
How cool is that? And Tasha from After the Snap says there's a perception filter on this whole episode for me. I remember nothing. So yeah. She's giving it 5 perception filters or 0 perception. Yeah. Because we don't know, because she doesn't remember.
She's got 5 doses of retcon.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah, he did say that.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Love calling that retcon. That's just genius.
So, gentlemen, one last thing, and something I forgot to do at the very end, or at the beginning, so I'm going to do it at the end. Lee Shackelford, what do you like telling people?
Well, it's still true. You could have been doing anything, but you decided to spend this time with us, and we really appreciate it.
Awesome. Clarence Brown, where else could they, or how might anyone find out more about us?
I will be as fearless as Gwen was as she walked down that hall to meet that weevil face to face and tell you that you can support the show by subscribing, leaving a review, or telling a friend if you have something you want us to talk about. But of course, talking about Torchwood for the foreseeable future, you can send that in along with anything else you want us to know to discussingwho@gmail.com or hit us up at discussingwho on any and all social media.
All right. And speaking of the weevils, Wind Grace gives it 5 weevils out of 5, and Genghis Khan gives it 5 sonic screwdrivers out of 5. So awesome, awesome, awesome. And for everyone in the chat, as always, thank you for joining us live and watching us. And before Clarence beams us into the time vortex, you see what I did there? Beams us into the time vortex. Ooh. So, cha-ching. So, before we do that, as always, thanks you everyone for listening or watching. And as always, we will be back next time.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.